This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday as we churn through all the questions. By the way, Jewish producer Chris did look it up. I brought up last hour how these hostile foreign city states, the blue areas of the country, the Democrats have to have these foreigners because the foreigners keep them elected. And I mentioned that Minnesota, it's a red state without foreigners. Probably other states, too. Maybe even California. Oregon, undoubtedly. They're red states without foreigners. You know how many votes Dome beat Donald Trump with last election? 138,000. 100,000 Somalis alone in Minnesota. What happens if the foreigners are actually arrested, deported, some denaturalized? What happens? Well, Democrats lose power in this country. Without them, Democrats become nothing. Before I go to the questions, I should probably give Caroline Leavitt some credit. I love this is how we treat these hacks now.
Why was Renee Good unfortunately and tragically killed?
Are you asking me my opinion? Because an ICE agent acted recklessly and killed it unjustifiably.
Oh, okay. So you're a biased reporter with you're a left-wing opinion.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah, because you're a left-wing hack. You're not a reporter. You're posing in this room as a journalist. And it's so clear by the premise of your question. And you and the people in the media who have such biases but fake like you're a journalist, you shouldn't even be sitting in that seat. But you're pretending like you're a journalist, but you're a left-wing activist. And the question that you just raised in your answer proves your bias. You should be reporting on the facts. You should be reporting on the cases. Do you have the numbers of how many American citizens were killed at the hands of illegal aliens who ICE is trying to remove from this country? I bet you don't.
Pretty good. Pretty freaking good. Hey, Jesse, the mighty Jesse, this guy says. I just emailed my new congressional representative expressing my outrage on this $180 billion spending bill. Pause. He's talking about the spending bill making its way through Congress as we speak. A bunch of people are raising a stink about it, very understandably, because there's all kinds of things that are in it that are still awful, absolutely awful. We're talking about money for, quote, refugee resettlement. I mean, the things that are in the spending bill are terrible and Republicans are voting for it. Anyway, my question to him is, why are we sending money to Washington so it can be stolen by Minnesota, New York, and New Jersey? First, we heard it was millions. Now we're hearing it's billions. That's 12 digits to the left of the decimal point. There are also reports saying the fraud could hit trillions. Why hasn't anyone introduced a bill to suspend taxes? All right, so it's a very good point. Your anger is totally justified, completely. But remember this. And this is one of those things that we don't want to hear. You're going to not enjoy hearing this. I'm just going to give you a heads up ahead of time. This won't be lovely to hear. We do not have enough power in Congress. When I say we, I'm not just talking about Republicans. You already know Republicans have a super slim majority in the House. We don't have that much of a majority in the Senate either. We don't have 60 votes. You need that 60-vote limit to pass whatever you want. But even if we did, boom, have 60 votes in the Senate tomorrow, we still have a small cabal of swampy, rhino, low-T Republicans who stop us every time we're about to make real reforms. Therefore, and I'll come back to that in a minute, but therefore, the bills that actually get through the House and the Senate, they can't really be new laws. They have to be, for instance, spending bills. You always hear that we have to do a continuing resolution. We need a continuing resolution. It has to be a continuing resolution. All right, what's that mean? That means we're going to take all the spending we've been doing. Okay, this group gets $50 million a year, and this group gets $100 billion a year, and that group. We're going to take all the spending we've been doing, and we just keep doing that. Hey, let's just do what we've been doing for another 6 months. Sound good? Sound good. That's what we've been doing over and over and over and over and over again. Why have we been able to get that through? Because of the way Congress is because of the basically the rules, the laws around Congress, they may not have the votes. Anybody may not have the votes to pass a new law, but you don't need, for instance, 60 votes in the Senate to do a continuing resolution. Just a simple majority allows you to keep doing what you're doing. That does not mean we can't make any improvements to the spending. I'm not saying that, and I'm not making excuses for the GOP. But what I am saying is this. Let's say, and this is, I'm just going to do a simple number. Let's say $100 million a year is what we've been spending. Obviously, it's a lot more than that, but let's say $100 million a year is what we've been spending. You, because you're a sane human being who has to budget for your house, you look at all the line items under that. Yeah, there's $10 million here and $5 million to this and $6 million to this. And it's a fairly simple thing for you. For me, we say, okay, well, that's got to go. No, put a line through that. And that's got to go. Oh, gosh, that's terrible. Put a line through that. And that's got to go. Well, we don't want to fund that. That's simple, isn't it? Very simple. It's how you do it. It's how I do it. But that $100 million a year, to overly simplify it, if we change that number too much, if we put too many lines underneath it, then it becomes not a continuing resolution. Now we're probably, we can cross out so much that it becomes, quote, a new bill that needs a big majority to pass it, and it doesn't get passed. That was a long way of me telling you we kind of have to nibble around the edges right now when it comes to spending and stuff. And I hate that. We can't have, we don't have access to the hatchet you want and I want to start chunking off big hunks of this. What, Chris? Chris said, even with all three branches, both houses? Yeah. Congress is designed, the House and Senate, they are designed so that you don't just need 51% of whatever, of either house, to pass whatever you want. The founders wanted it to be difficult to pass laws. They wanted it to be difficult. They wanted an overwhelming majority of the House and Senate to be on board before any law can pass. Therefore, that creates this in people. Jewish producer Chris just said it. Well, why don't we then remove the filibuster? Okay. Understandable. Let's just remove the filibuster. That would mean we need 51 senators to pass whatever law we want. Sounds good, right? Okay. Tell me which law Lisa Murkowski of Alaska is going to sign on for. You think Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, always willing to be a traitor to our cause, do you think she's going to sign on for national voter ID? Susan Collins is a allegedly Republican senator from Maine. Now, I give her more grace than I give others because Maine is a blue state. So she can't be as right-wing as you or I want her to be. I get that. So I'm not killing her when I say this. But do you think Susan Collins, who has to get elected in Maine, is going to pass a mass deportation bill? We have a tiny cabal of Republicans. They may not be the supermajority anymore, but there are enough of them that stop us currently from making major changes or passing any kind of a decent law. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Trump administration keeps saying, remove the filibuster, remove the filibuster. You see people all over the country, including on our side, saying, remove the filibuster. I will once again ask a very simple question. You want me to sign on for removing the filibuster? I'm all in, provided you give me the law that has the votes to pass that will crush communism in some way in this country. If you told me right now you could pass a national voter ID law and we had the votes in the Senate to do it right now, I'd say get rid of that friggin' filibuster and pass the law. We don't have those votes. So why are you removing the filibuster? If you don't have the votes to pass a good law, what are you just doing it to do it? We don't have the votes. We don't have enough power to pass whatever we want to pass. Sucks, but that's the world in which we live. All right. I did something embarrassing at work last night. We'll discuss it. Then we'll get back and talk about someone wants to know, are we in a civil war? China, didn't they do communism longer? How are they still around? All that and more still to come, but you know what's still to come for you? What is the date today? It is January 16th. February, March, April. Sorry, I had to do that on my hands. April, 90 days away. What if you had all kinds of energy by mid-April? Not that caffeinated, palms are sweaty energy. What if you just felt ready to go all the time? Instead of needing a nap at noon, you want to go for a walk. You're just bouncing around. When I talk to you about natural herbal supplements from Chalk, I'm talking to you about improving every part of your life. What if your mind worked better? You were in a better mood. Let's talk about mood. What if you just kind of had a little smirk on your face all the time instead of being a little sourpuss? CHOQ, Chalk.com is about to make you younger again. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse, April. That's your month. Start now. In April, you're a different person. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic, fantastic Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, I need to just bare my soul for a minute, and then we'll get back to the questions and talk about civil wars and commies and all the World War III. You're all into war today, apparently, but now, something happened, all right? First, I've told you that I'm trying to make 2026 the healthiest year ever. And you can mock me all you want, Chris. I've been doing pretty well so far. The workouts have increased, and my eating has gotten so much better. I'm not going to be eating kale salads. That's not going to happen. But, for instance, Yesterday, it was super protein heavy. Eating more beef and beef sticks and beef jerky and protein shakes instead of cheese curds and stuff like that. I had I was not judging, Corey. I was just saying I didn't eat cheese curds like you ate cheese curds last night. Either way, I told you that we recently had to travel and we had to go into this iHeart building. Well, we're used to just working in our studio where we do our thing and we have our kitchen. In this iHeart building, where there's all these iHeart people, remember, they don't work for the show. Many don't even know who we are. I mean, many do, but there's a large snack area. And when I say snack area, they're free, not to make myself sound like Chris. They're free. And we're talking top-tier gas station snacks. You want Miss Vicky's jalapeno chips? They're there. Doritos, boom, there. Maybe you're a peanut butter cracker guy, there. Fruit roll-ups, there. They have Sun chips, there. It's a money snack rack, money. And then a fridge right by it with all kinds of stuff, with sodas. They even have one pack full of beer. It's amazing. I've been eating really, really good. And what I do when I go through this is sometimes I'll eat good for a couple days, 2-3 days, and then I will break and I will destroy every ounce of gain I have made. And last night, I had some cravings. And so when the show ended, and there were still people in the building, all over the building, people who don't know us, and some do know us, but that's probably worse. I went over to the snack rack, and I did not grab one bag of chips. I didn't grab two bags of chips. And we don't have to go into the number, but there were a lot of chips. And I grabbed all of the remaining fruit roll-ups. And I did not have a bag or a case of any kind, and had to walk through the entire building by everybody out the front, past the secretary and by security and out the front door. And it took me both hands to carry all the snacks. And what, Chris, what? At least it's not cheese curds, Chris. You can say cheese curds are loaded with protein, okay? Do you have any idea how fantastic those Doritos were last night? And now today, I don't feel good about myself. I feel like I've failed in some way, but really the failure is probably Chris. Listen, Chris, you should have known ahead of time. It's your job to hide that stuff when I'm trying to be healthy so I don't make bad decisions. Isn't that the whole point? What do you guys even do here? You sit in front of these computers and press buttons. I know you're not actually working. Maybe you could see the future and know that that's going to create temptation. And that's why ZipRecruiter exists. ZipRecruiter is there so you can get people who work for you, who make your life easier. Not people who allow Doritos to be put in front of you and fruit roll-ups. People who actually make your life easier. Are you an employer? Are you looking for somebody better? Or maybe you have an empty spot. Maybe you're expanding. Maybe it's seasonal. Maybe you're looking for something permanent. You need a star. It's assistant manager time. The best people are all on ZipRecruiter. It's number one for a reason. And I'm not asking you to give it a month. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody the first day. You want to try it free? Speaking of Chris, ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Don Jesse, the vest. Yesterday you mentioned the USSR was the longest lasting commie country, but by my math, China must be just as old with no signs of collapse. What has made China more successful than the Soviet Union in this longevity metric? Says his name is Zach. He said, P.S., longevity metric means a measurement of how long something lasts. You know, I know what longevity metric means. You guys don't have to keep explaining words to me. That's one. Two. 1949, 50, about 75. No, China right now, they're probably about equal to how long the Soviet Union lasted. Remember, China did not collapse in a 1917 revolution like Russia did. China, pre-World War II, China was having a huge internal war between the nationalists led by a man, great man, by the name of Chiang Kai-shek, and the communists who, well, in the end, they were led, of course, by Mao Zedong. And Chiang Kai-shek and the communists came to a uneasy truce when the Japanese were killing all those Chinese people, but the dirty commies did what dirty commies always do, and they acted like they were going to help. Instead, they stood back and let the nationalists take all the casualties against the Japanese. And then as soon as the war was over, then the communists had more power. They beat the nationalists, took over the country in 1949. So you're not necessarily right on your dates. There's just a confusion on the dates. Russia fell 1917. China fell to communism 1949. Now, how are they still holding themselves up? You say there's no signs of collapse, but maybe there are. And we'll talk about that next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. This is some good news, I should say, out of Kevin Hassett, NEC director.
It's our expectation.
You know what NEC stands for, Chris? You're so dumb.
And so our expectation is that you're going to have the biggest refund season ever, which is going to be a significant positive stimulus for the economy. But I will add a non-inflationary stimulus because we've got all the supply going up, too. We've got $18 trillion in new factory construction and so on. And so I think that it's really, you know, the Trump golden age is going to be tested, the theory of it, this year. And I think it's looking pretty good.
How about that? Shogun, I've listened to you for years now. We have seen a steady societal decline over this illegal crap, and now find we have a federal government passing out money to illegals while we rely on Tunnel to Towers to help our wounded veterans. Is this new thing with paid protesters fighting ICE our new South versus North pending civil war? Has not the federal government lost all of its legitimacy finally because of all this fraud? His name is Chris. A good Chris. Is this our new civil war? It depends on when you think the civil war, the one we already fought, it depends on when you think it started. If you think it started at Fort Sumter in South Carolina when we're started shooting cannons at each other, then no. If you think the Civil War began when Americans started turning against other Americans, thinking other Americans were treasonous, and then started killing each other in low-level forms, not army against army, but in low-level forms, then of course it has already started. Remember, we're already dying. We're already dying. It's mostly people on the right, but we just had a dirty communist die because she tried to run over an ICE agent. She won't be the last one. And it's not just Charlie Kirk. We've had people on our side. Many of them die, get killed at the hands of communist street animals in this country. Now, what's happening? Well, we are fracturing. We are fracturing. That doesn't mean, though, that does not mean that it's inevitable we will continue to snowball and we'll end up with armies shooting at each other. Let me give you the good and bad scenarios that this can work out. Here's a bad one. I'll start with the bad, but because it's Friday, I want to end with the good because I don't want to leave you feeling like crap. The worst case scenario that could happen. We have heard in recent days, Democrat politicians and people in the media, they sure sound like they're encouraging a serious physical pushback against federal law enforcement. When the mayor of Minneapolis says things like this, ooh.
Imagine if that city or that town was suddenly invaded by thousands of federal agents that do not share the values that you hold dear.
Invaded. My neighbors are saying the police should stand up to ICE. Now, let's assume, maybe we shouldn't assume this, but let's assume that it's not going to get to that point right now. And I don't know that that's the case, by the way, but let's assume we're not going to get to the point where we have United States Marines squaring off against the Minneapolis Police Department. Let's hope we don't get there, and let's assume we're not going to get there. Let's assume, I don't want to say cooler heads will prevail, but maybe one side will back off a little bit now. How long do we have to go before that stops happening? Before a Democrat politician, encouraged by their street animal base, doesn't back off? How long do we have to go? I think it would be naive to think we'll never get to the place where there is that square off. In ways, it almost seems inevitable. I think we're going to get there now. I mean, maybe not today, but I already told you that's my prediction. I think there are Democrat politicians, maybe not in Minnesota, they are going to push this to the brink, and we're going to have a very ugly situation, I believe, between American law enforcement in some state or city and the federal government. I think it's going to get bad. But beyond that, that's the bad. You can see this snowball and get us to that point. You know, Governor Gavin Newsom, it probably wouldn't be him because he wants to be president, but Governor Gavin Newsom calls in the National Guard to surround and apprehend ICE agents because they're deporting foreigners. That's not outside of the realm of possibility at all. They threaten it all the time, but that's the bad. Let's go to the good part of this. Let's talk about something hopeful when it comes to this. And I've discussed this before. What does the Democrat Party exist on? Cheating in elections. Fraud, and when I say fraud, I mean using taxpayer money to pay voters, essentially, pay their support base, and foreigners. Foreigners voting in elections, foreigners who have 8,000 kids who are American citizens who vote Democrat. Those are the three things that hold up the Democrat Party. The Trump administration has begun, just begun, remember Trump is step one, he's not the end. The Trump administration has begun the fight on all three of those fronts. They're digging into fraud. They are. They're cleaning up voter rolls. They're suing states to clean up their voter rolls. They're starting to deport foreigners. We have negative net migration last year in 2025. First time in 50 years, I believe. We are starting the process now. If you think about the Democrat Party and you think about those three things as being the three huge concrete pillars that hold up the Democrat Party, we have started to chip away at all three of those pillars. If we can get to the point where we weaken those pillars enough, one, two, or Lord willing, all three of them, the Democrat Party collapses on itself. And we don't ever have to have some kind of horrible, hot civil war that has Americans killing each other again. And I pray to God we never get to that place. Yes, this could continue to snowball and get really, really, really bad. And I'll be honest, part of me thinks that it will. But we also might be able to kneecap the three pillars of the Democrat Party and win without firing a shot, or very many shots. I guess we've already fired some shots. Ask Renee Good's girlfriend. There have already been shots fired. It's going to happen. What, Chris? Well, we can't say there have been no shots fired. There have definitely been shots fired. If you don't believe me, ask the guy who has to clean up that upholstery. Dear Jesse, given all the bloody attacks lately, the Pope has expressed the thought that we're in World War III being fought piecemeal. Again, you guys are so dark today. I have thought that for quite some time. Do you feel the same way? World War III. I don't know that I would say World War III. And here's why. Between powerful countries, if you look historically, there always seems to be tension between the powerful countries of a world or a region. You know, we talk about Alexander the Great. Everyone knows Alexander the Great, and he invaded the Achaemenid Persian Empire, and he started conquering it and beating it up. He essentially defeated the Achaemenid Persian Empire. But those two empires, the Greeks and the Persians, well, the Macedonians and the Persians, they'd been fighting each other for a very long time. Why? Well, proximity. There were two major powers. Inevitably, they're going to clash over things like location, resources, stuff like that. Inevitably, there are going to be tensions. At any given moment in the world, major superpowers are going to be at odds with each other. Now, we'll continue on this in just a moment. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, right? The question was, are we already in a World War III being fought piecemeal? And I explained before we went into the break that I don't know that I don't think that. I think that there have always been tensions between major political powers. Right now, globally, China, Russia, America, those are probably the three superpowers that are trying to get some dominance globally. We're competing over locations, interests, resources. Just because we're competing and just because there are tensions, that doesn't mean we're almost about to have a world war. That's inevitable. The United States of America is the number one global superpower. China has admitted, they're not quite about it, they prefer that they become the world's number one superpower. They intend to become the world's number one superpower. And I'm going to finish my China talk. I wanted to wait on it and finish it now. But so we're at odds. That's going to create odds. Now, let's talk about China. I wanted to have this talk before I finish the China communist talk. China is not fully communist anymore. A lot of people don't realize that. After Mao was done, remember, Mao killed so many people in China and destroyed so many things by trying to implement full communism that he had so many enemies inside China, but he had been so effective at murdering and intimidating all of his potential political opponents that nobody could make serious moves and changes until Mao was gone. They had to wait until he died. Mao died and China changed course. China attempted and is still attempting to implement some sort of a capitalist communist hybrid society. No. You can you can run your business, of course. No, it's your business. I mean, you're not going to be allowed to do anything we don't want you to do. And we can take over your business whenever we want. And if the state needs things, you have to do those things. And but either way, run your own. They're attempting it. Well, this now you understand why I waited to finish that thought on China in World War III. China is having a very, very, very difficult time right now, more difficult than people think, for many of the same reasons. You cannot have centralized control of an economy, especially a large economy, and have any amount of success. You might be able to have centralized control of an economy in a teeny tiny country like Luxembourg. You ever heard of Luxembourg? You ever looked up Luxembourg on a map? I don't know how big it is. According to my map, it's about the size of my thumbnail. You can probably, if you're a central government, control a large part of that economy because it's not that diverse. You don't have that many people. It's not a big place. A country the size of China can't do that. So their currency is in trouble. Now back to the World War III talk. This is the part that does concern me. China is on very shaky ground right now, and they know it. We've talked about this before, that there are experts who think that China believes they have a window, 2027 to 2035. What is that window? China believes that is the window they have to take Taiwan and, honestly, probably the Philippines and other things in that area. Because of the one-child policy they used to have, China, we think about them as having endless people, is facing a population collapse. Because of that population collapse, China thinks they've got a window. So, shaky economy, you think you have a short amount of time, you are Xi Jinping, you're always under threat from a different communist trying to take power away from you. It's easy to see that China could make a desperate move for Taiwan or something that could spark something else, possibly kicking off a World War III. That's the only thing I'll say about World War III. What I believe is happening, though, globally, is a changing of the guard. Worlds change sometimes. Things change. The world has gone through this multiple times. Eventually, I mean, this was really World War I era. Eventually, countries got tired of having kings, monarchs, royal families. Right around that time, countries decided enough of this. Russia, we're done being ruled by the czars. I mean, you don't like who took over after, neither do I, but we're done being ruled by the czars. Germany, this Kaiser business, it's got to go. The world's changed. Right now, the world is changing. You are seeing societies become very, very angry with their governments, certainly Western societies, as Western governments have massively imported foreign barbarians who are killing and raping people in their own countries. You're seeing a lot of anger bubble up. We in America have a brief reprieve from this, so maybe we don't appreciate that anger so much, but do remember how angry you were under Joe Biden, how angry you were under under Joe Biden's 4 years of 20 million foreigners and all the anarchy. Well, they're still going through that in the UK. That hasn't stopped. In Germany, people can't afford power. We now have their big cheese, the chancellor. It's kind of funny they still have a chancellor. Isn't that a little... Anyway, they still have a chancellor. Merz, he's talking about how Germany phased out their nuclear power. Now people can't afford power. People are angry. I saw a video yesterday. French farmers are dumping potatoes on the road. There's a lot of anger right now that I don't know I would call it World War III, but I think in the next 50 years, 100 years, you're going to see governments change. Nonviolently? I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know if we'll see nonviolently. Normally, governments don't just walk away without visiting some sort of violence on the people. Governments will usually kill their own people if it means staying in power. Who knows? This is all really heavy stuff. Let's talk about some other things, shall we? Let's talk about, ICE agents. How do they know where they're operating? Let's talk about the Republican Party. Let's talk about Target shopping there. Next.